Time now for Tim Luke and Greg Schraub, the appraisal guys, the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. Weather, sickness, travel has put them back together again, finally. On the radio, anyway. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So how are you feeling, Greg? You're back at 100%?
Well, I'm not at 100, but I'm pretty much back.
Okay.
So I'm back at my desk, my leg propped up, and I'm none the worse for wear.
Feeling better. Yes.
Well, that's good. Goodness. That's good. All right. Well, what is the topic of conversation between the three of us while we wait for Ms. Goodman to arrive and lead the way?
First of all, I just want to give a shout out to one of our radio listeners. We got a phone call from a lady who listens to the show, and she's been listening for a while, and she actually called us, and we're doing a project for her. We're helping her with a project. So we're real excited about it, and I just want to give a shout-out to her. And I won't mention her name on the radio.
No.
Or her address or her telephone number.
No.
But I just want to say, good morning, Gene. So...
yeah, which was very nice. And this weekend, I went to Vineland, New Jersey for Bertoia's auction of antique toys and a variety of, you know, trains, planes, automobiles, dolls, bears, all that kind of stuff. And the second day, on Sunday, was the auction, was a collection of, it was part of the single owner collector. His name is Sam Downey. And I remember Sam my entire professional career. He bought at Christie's. He bought at Bertoia. He was a collector for a very long time, and he passed away in November. And his girlfriend was actually in attendance with some other friends, and the sale went really well. I mean, things there was one lot that was estimated at $1,000 to $1,500, sold for $37,000, and everyone went crazy because we just thought, what the heck was that? And of course, somebody, my friend Melissa, was in the audience, and she said, was it that valuable? I said, well, to them and to somebody who was the underbidder, absolutely. But everything did well. There were some Marklin, which is a German company, Marklin boats, which very desirable. The market is a little tenuous for those, but they did sell several hundred, you know, 10,000, 50,000, 40,000 for some of these boats. But the thing that got me that was a first that I've never encountered was at the end of the sale, somebody came up to me and was telling me that, yes, Sam's girlfriend was happy and that everything went well and that she brought Sam's ashes with her to the auction so that he could also be there in, I guess, ash form to experience the auction. And
it still makes me laugh. I'm sorry.
That was a first, just a first for me. Didn't, you know, so I'm not sure how she was transporting those ashes, but I don't know.
Did he have to register for the sale?
No, he didn't register. He couldn't bid on his own stuff.
Several comments come to mind. I'll take the least offensive in saying she just loves dragging his ash around. That's all.
Right. Oh boy, that was good.
That's the least offensive.
I'm not setting you up, Marshall.
That's the least offensive one.
Your father would be very proud. Your father would be very happy with that.
Yes.
That's very good. Very good.
No, but the sale overall did well. There was a number of trains as well that just really performed well at auction for these items. This was part one, so I think part two is coming up, and I can't wait to see what she brings for part two.
Well, maybe can she put his ashes up for auction as well?
Well, yeah. She could.
Well, you know, this brings to mind, you know, you bring up an interesting question.
I did sell. Remember at Julian's, yes. I sold Truman Capote's ashes. So,
well, there you go. So go ahead. As a bonus for somebody, you know, you buy this lot.
I have experience. You get the selling ashes. I'm an ash seller.
Yeah. You know, if I think back over the years since we've been doing this show, I do believe that we did one show where we talked about body parts that have sold at auction.
Yeah, we did.
Over the years. So it's something that does happen occasionally.
Yeah.
And it's weird, but and I don't know what the law is about transporting body parts across state lines.
I think ashes is okay, but I don't know about body parts.
I don't know. It's one of those things.
Another thing, and this goes to a conversation we had several weeks ago where we started the year off with flashbacks, basically. We had a number of phone calls since the first of the year from people who we have worked with early on, like 10, 15 years ago, that from appraisals that have become estates. And not unlike what Tim went through with Sam this weekend, where we're at the age now where a lot of the people who we've done appraisals for, the situation has now turned into an estate situation. And we say this all the time, and it goes back to making sure that when you, if you're planning for estate planning, to go ahead and have everything appraised so you have a basis on where to start when it becomes necessary to turn your items into an estate situation or to liquidate those items, so you're not actually reinventing the wheel. And yet again this week we've had two more calls from people. 2008 seems to be the year that people are calling from we've had
most.
No less than five clients that we worked with in 2008 that have called us to that things have turned into an estate situation or guardianship situation. So never underestimate the value of a good appraisal on your items for either insurance or for just market value, because it will always it's one of the things that when it comes back to bite you in the butt, if you have it, it's going to be a good thing, because you will have all of that documentation. So we can't stress that enough to people. And a lot of it also is the ease with which to make the transition from an insurance appraisal into an estate appraisal, as long as the items are still available in the estate. So it's a very important thing. And you know, Sam, this weekend, the sale turned out to be, what was it, Tim? Over $2 million, I think you said.
It did just about, yeah. It was, really, things just went well, but there were also items in the auction. There were the high end highlights and things like that, but there were middle of the road things, and there were a couple of dealers and a couple of collectors walked away with some things, you know, for a couple $100, you know. So it was a good spread, which was really nice, a good variety of items. But it was, I will tell you, it was like going back to the 1990s. Early 2000s at auction, the room was just about packed. There were bids all over, phones all over, you know, every lot, not every lot, but all the high end lots had at least 8 or 9 phone bidders on it. And the internet was really jamming, and there was a lot of successful bidders online, because a lot of these toys, being German toys, a lot of them collectors from around the world were bidding, specifically in Europe as well as in Australia, that they didn't want to go to Philadelphia or into Vineland, New Jersey, for the auction, but they either had sent representatives or they were calling about conditions, so they were able to bid. So it was an active sale. Typically at Bertoia's, when it's a typical toy auction, we can do anywhere between 80 to 100 lots an hour. But because there was so much active bidding, the first 100 lots took almost an hour and a half, or almost an hour and 45 minutes for the first 100 lots, because there was just a lot, very, very active bidding. And it's interesting as an auction here, you know, you want to keep it moving, you want to keep it going, but also, especially when the family's in the audience, you don't want to rush things and cut off the bidding. And some of these dealers were like, come on, close it, bring the hammer down, bring the, you know, while people on the phone are contemplating this. And my comeback is always, and if I were selling your collection, you would want me to wait. So we're taking just a moment, you know.
Well, like, you know, one.
Come on.
One last thing about the sale is it was so well attended, partially because of who it was, and Sam was well known in the industry. And the other thing is, a number of his toys and pieces from his collection were actually purchased originally through Bertoia. So it's also, for collectors, a chain of provenance that can be traced back, which makes it's only going to help the piece in the future, but you can trace its lineage back to. So, and we've talked about that numerous times as well. So the transfer of ownership for a well-known collector, as long as it's somebody who you know where all of the items, most of his items came from, is only going to help.
And took care of it.
Yes.
You know, that really makes a big difference.
Well, I expect when's the next auction going to be on Ash Wednesday?
That's, yes. All right. No, I think it'll be in November. So it'll be before Thanksgiving.
Right. You're on fire. You're on fire, Marshall.
All right. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay, definitely.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye,
guys.
Take care.
Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with appraise this, TQAG.com on the web.